Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and you don't have to actually raise your hand. I'll just know by your faces what the answer is. Okay, how many of you have a lottery fantasy? You know, what would you do if you won Powerball or Lotto, and all of a sudden you had lots of money? Well, I do. I know I shouldn't, but I do. And I just think that when we think about receiving millions of dollars suddenly, we have a list of the things that we would do. I call it the why I should win list. Not exactly a prayer, but here's what I would do. First, I'd call a tax attorney and a CPA. Second, pay off all our bills. Third, put a bunch of it away so that I wouldn't end up like those people on TV that you see win it and then don't have any money. Fourth, help all those people we love, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, everybody, to make sure that their lives would be easier. And I think we would set it up in a trust so that they wouldn't end up on TV as those people who had a lot of money and then it was all gone. Fifth, give a whole bunch to needy causes, especially for me, the church, especially this church. First thing I do is replace the carpet going up the stairs and into the parlor. Okay. Hint. Sixth, we travel around the world, do some traveling, meet some new people, go to new places, go to new countries, see the world. And seventh, and probably one of the most important, is that we would spend a lot of our time helping other people. Lance and I have talked about, Habitat for Humanity when we retire, because he builds homes. I think about things like Bread for the World, and there's just so many UMCOR, there's so many places that need our time and our help. So that's my list, and maybe your list is a different list, or maybe you don't even have a list. But I'm guessing if you have a list, a few of the same elements, the few of the same things are on your lottery fantasy that are on mine. To take advantage of all the freedom that money would give us, and to help others, and to make others' lives better, we would have lots of time and lots of money to do it. Because money gives you a number of things, doesn't it? First, it gives you a lot of freedom to give. But the other thing it gives you when your days are full from living and working is it gives you time. And it seems to me that the way that we view the giving of ourselves and our gifts and how we view time, they're intimately tied to our choices, the decisions we make every single day. And that, brothers and sisters, is an issue of discipleship. So the gospel lesson today is about time. It's about giving. It's about serving. It's about choices. And it comes early in the Gospel of Mark from the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The time is fulfilled, Jesus says. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. You know, in Greek, there's actually two words for time. There's the word chronos, which is time that's moving. You know, time as before and after, time as the future passing through the present and so becoming the past. And it's from this Greek word that we get a lot of our words in English, like chronic and chronicle and chronology. So an illness that lasts a long time is a chronic illness. But the second term in Greek for time is kairos, because the Greeks also spoke of time as a special moment, as an occasion. The quality of the time was what it issued, not the quantity. Time is significant, and it always meant change. So when we hear Jesus' words, the time is fulfilled, he is talking about kairos, a special, significant, critical point in history, when suddenly God's will is being revealed to us and shown to us and carried out in the coming of this man, the Christ, in our midst. Now, John has been arrested, and if you know the story, it goes in badly for him. He is beheaded. And now Jesus is walking through Galilee, proclaiming the good news, and as he passes along the Sea of Galilee by himself, strolling on the beach, he sees Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. And he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." But the literal translation is more like, "Follow me, and I will make of you fishers." So they left their nets, and they followed. And then he comes upon James and John, who are mending their nets, and he called them, and they followed. And the call of the first four disciples are in these four short verses. Well, what's most interesting to me about this story is that in this story, none of the four disciples, or Zebedee, who's in the boat, say a single word. They have no voice in the story. They are speechless. And the lack of voice from any one of them paints a very bizarre image, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. It's almost like robots dropping their nets and following Jesus down the beach, blind to what's going to happen, just automatically doing what the story says without a word. And to me, it seems unnatural. But for someone like me, not having anything to say about something like this seems utterly ridiculous. But instead, here's what I imagine. Simon and Andrew are looking perplexed, and they're asking each other like brothers would, "Well, are you going to go? I don't know. Are you going to do it? I don't know. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? I don't know. Are we going?" Right? And what the heck does fish for people mean? That not only sounds kind of gross, it's actually kind of creepy. And at the same time, James and John, walking away without a word, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat, and he is yelling, "You boys, get back here. Where are you going? I can't do this myself. Wait until I tell your mother that you just walked away from the boat. And by the way, who the heck is that guy?" The image of complete devotion without explanation, without planning, without going home and explaining to your family why you feel compelled to follow this man you really don't know to a place that you really don't know, it's just not normal. And it certainly isn't the way it usually happens to most people. It is a lovely fantasy, however, to be that dedicated, to not question why or how, to really know that the time is right and that you can do it and that everything you need will be provided for, and no worries, no worries. Such dedication, this image of discipleship, is a fantasy for most of us. And it is the absolute antithesis to the lottery fantasy. See, in the lottery fantasy, we can do all those good things because we have been given the freedom. Everything else on our plates has been cleared. We don't have a care in the world. We have all the time that we need to serve God, to do the right thing, to give of ourselves, and to help others. And in the discipleship fantasy, not one word, not a question, not a comment, no, not even let's sit down and discuss what my commitment looks like here. No, just give it all up and get on with the work, for the kingdom of God is here and the time is fulfilled. But as I thought about this, I realized most of our lives don't fit into really either one of these fantasies, do they? As far as I know, most of you aren't getting ready to inherit a large fortune, and if you won the lotto last night, you might not have checked your ticket yet, so... But the other thing is most of us aren't going to drop everything we're doing and follow Jesus down the beach without question or comment. And honestly, I don't think that that's what answering God's call really looks like, or what Jesus had in mind. See, discipleship is a pilgrimage. It means becoming one who seeks God in everything, everywhere, at all times. In the ordinary, in the common, in the day-to-day of what we have to do to create our own ordinary lives. Discipleship is costly. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your whole life. Because it changes us, or it should. Discipleship changes us, and then it changes the world. When we commit to serve God, we are living in Kairos time, not the mundane of Kronos time, because we're embracing God's time, God's call to interweave into every single fiber of our being and our lives God's way. And God's way is shown to us here through the life of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to imagine that I could do anything and be speechless about it. I mean, it could happen. But if Jesus shows up on my porch over here at the parsonage, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions as I follow him across the porch and down the steps and down the street. Lots of questions. But I'm still going to try to follow, even if I don't know where it's going to lead me in my life. And it won't happen. Jesus won't show up in our lives when everything is perfect and we can make time for him. You see, the things that we would do in our lottery fantasy, that's the ultimate discipleship fantasy. To make the world a better place through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness. That's how Kronos times becomes Kairos, sacred, significant time. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. So which time are you living in? The mundane of Kronos, or that significant, sacred Kairos time? See, God calls us in the ordinary, in every moment of every day of our lives. But you always, always get to choose. And you also get to have plenty to say about it. But I'm guessing that when we answer God's call, we will experience moments of pure grace. And that, brothers, sisters, can make even those of us who have plenty to say speechless. Amen.